Hello and welcome to Radio Edutalk. This is David Noble in Dalgety Bay, and I'm delighted to welcome to today's show Colin Newton, who is co-founder of Inclusive Solutions. Welcome to Radio Edutalk, Colin.
Hi there, nice to be here.
And we're going to be hearing about some of the work of Inclusive Solutions and yourself, Colin, over the next 15 minutes or so. But just to start off with, could you give listeners a kind of flavour of your career?
Yes, absolutely. I started off life as a primary teacher and down in East Anglia, and then I became an educational psychologist up in the northeast of England, up in Newcastle, worked in Essex, went on to become a senior educational psychologist in Nottinghamshire, and then a principal psychologist in Nottingham City, and then for the last 16 years co-founded Inclusive Solutions, working with Derek Wilson, a fellow educational psychologist, and we've been sort of touring the UK and beyond ever since. And it's all been about inclusion, really, all been about inclusive education and what does it take to make that more likely in the world.
And how did Inclusive Solutions come about?
Well, Derek and I were on the Isle of Wight ferry, of all places, and we'd just been doing some training in the Isle of Wight on the approach Circle of Friends, which was proving very popular. And at the time, we were both working for the local authority. We'd just taken a day off to do the work, and we were just thinking, wow, we could do this more, and maybe the world needs a bit more work on inclusion. And so we kind of hatched it up, really, on that ferry crossing the water there. It also tied in with somebody who'd been a big international mover on inclusion, Marcia Forrest, and she'd been a big inspiration on our work coming out of Canada with Jack Pierpoint, Inclusion Press, they're called. And she just died, and it kind of left a bit of a void that we felt kind of needed filling, and maybe we could, you know, play a small part in some of that.
Just before we hear about some of your work with children, young people in schools, Colin, can you tell us a bit about your own kind of understanding of what is meant by inclusion?
Sure, because it's one of those words that gets bandied around an awful lot. But in my mind, it's especially when we think about education, I'm thinking about local mainstream schools, thinking about all children being included, and I really mean all means all. That's the kind of dream I have. That's the direction I think we should be travelling with inclusion. So full inclusion would be every child gets to go to the local school with whatever support and resources are needed to make that successful. That's what I would call full inclusion. Lots of other things get talked about in the name of inclusion, but sometimes that's a long way short of that ideal, really. So I would call that a dream, really. I would say that was a direction of travel, and I know many people in Scotland share that dream and are working towards that. And I know many children and young people don't make that, and they're in all sorts of other different settings, from sort of, from units to special schools to kind of settings that would call themselves inclusive, but when you look closer, they're not always. So you can get inclusion units, which always seems a bit bizarre. And all sorts of other different arrangements. Does that help? Does it make it a bit clearer?
Yeah, absolutely. And so tell us a bit about your work then with young people in schools.
Sure. So a lot of our work has been about peer support, about involving other children in including children with complex needs, be they impairments that have led to them being disabled within their communities, or having severe challenging behaviour, mental health issues, whatever it might be. And we've been very interested in building circles of support or circles of friends around some of those individual children by recruiting teams of children from the mainstream community and building empathy with those children, meeting with them kind of weekly. And that's been a big part of our work, and there's been a lot of interest in that way of working. And I would say that's become very popular right across the UK, simply called Circle of Friends. So that's been one kind of prong of our work. The other piece of our work gets that term person-centered planning. And this is really gaining some motion now. Although we've been working with these ideas probably for the last 15 plus years, there's a lot more interest now around the place in this way of working. And basically the idea is you gather all the people who really care about the young person, of whatever age they might be. So they could be, you know, from sort of nursery age, you know, under five, right through to a young person in their 20s. And you gather around the young person people who really care about them, people who love them, people who would see themselves as the young person's friend, people who just kind of care a lot about them, and also stakeholders in that young person's life. You gather them together, then you have a big piece of paper, and we carry out what we call person-centered planning, which basically means we start by asking the young person about their dreams, and we ask the people who really care about them what their dreams are for the young person as well. Keep, and at the same time checking back with the young person that they're on the same page as what people are saying. And so then we create a dream, which gets graphiced on this really big piece of paper. So we have the dream first, and then we have goals towards the big dream that can be achieved in the next year. Then we talk about maybe what it's like right now for the young person, who they need with them on the journey, how they're going to stay strong, and then some action planning. So you kind of go through these steps, and you end up with a great big wall-sized graphic, a giant plan that the young person often likes so much they're prepared to put up on the bedroom wall, which is a lot different to many special needs plans that they've probably been exposed to over the years. And the professionals take photos of it, and it kind of informs their work. So we do a lot of that kind of work. And the other piece of work I guess we get involved in would be problem solving. And we're big fans on teams kind of getting unstuck and kind of going deeper in their understanding, especially if there's challenging behavior around or emotional needs that it's really hard to get your head around. So we've devised an approach that we call Circle of Adults. And basically it's the adults sitting around in a big circle. And again, another big graphic on the wall, a step-by-step process, whereby people will kind of go very deep about what's going on around the young person, considering questions like what would it be like in a desert island with this young person, how would things be, and thinking about the impact of other relationships on that young person, and the kind of emotional impact on the adults around them, leading to building theories, leading to strategies, and then first steps. So problem solving is another approach we've been using a lot in schools. So I guess a big bunch of our work is training, but it also a lot of us hands-on as well, working with staff and young people.
And so do you have any ideas then for maybe listeners who may be interested in getting started or in becoming more person-centred or involved in person-centred planning or collaborative problem-solving? Is that a case of, you know, courses or reading, or, you know, is there a kind of slightly more accessible starting point?
Yeah, absolutely. There's various ways into it. There's a lot of good stuff online now. I mean, you could do worse than start with their own website, the inclusive-solutions.com. We've got a button simply marked person-centered planning, and there's lots of YouTube clips up there. There's sort of step-by-step guides. It's very friendly, easy language. We've also produced a book just in the last year called Person-Centered Planning Together, which is, again, lots of pictures, easy to read language, so that's very accessible. And there are plenty of other sites as well in the States and here. So simply putting person-centered planning into dear old Google will bring up all sorts of resources and ideas, and lots of it's increasingly practical. So that's quite helpful for people. And I guess similarly with the problem-solving stuff, if people want to read more about that, again, the website's probably an easy place to start. Go to the inclusive-solutions.com website, look for the word problem-solving, and it'll send you to various links. We've also created videos that people can watch as well, DVDs that people can kind of just, and downloadable videos that people can kind of get a sense of what this looks like in action. Because people like to see things, don't they? Sort of seeing is believing of it, really. So that will be a good way into it.
Now, without getting into details, everything you described about 3 or 4 minutes ago, I believe I was actually part of at a planning meeting for a young person. And very recently, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was incredible to hear you speak about it there. Absolutely down to fine detail. I'm just wondering, do teachers and other educationists need to have a particular mindset or a set of professional attributes and attitudes to be able to become person-centred and collaborative in this way?
Yes, that's a lovely question. I think a kind of an open mind, a spirit of flexibility, holding the value of inclusion and belonging, connection, you know, holding that quite close to the heart as well is quite important as a kind of mindset entering into this work. To be able to work with groups is quite important because the work I'm describing very much does involve facilitating with a group of adults as well as young people. So you kind of have to be fairly comfortable with the group setting. It helps if one of the facilitators, because this work always involves two people, is able to work with paper and pen. Because there's a bit of graphic work here, but it doesn't have to be super beautiful, fantastic, as long as, you know, words can be read and simple images can be recorded, and it can end up quite colourful, that's absolutely fine. But I think it's that open-minded attitude, really, that and that creative spirit as well, you know, that we can figure this stuff out, really. If we work hard enough, we work together on this, and we really think about the young person, we really try and be child-centred, seriously person-centred and respectful about young people, that and just see where that leads us. And really, really try and figure this out, because we want the young person to be present. We want them to be with us. We don't want them shut away somewhere, you know, lost to the system, lost to the communities. I think that kind of headspace will take you a long way.
Just finally, where next for the organisation? You know, is it about going into, you know, other parts of the UK, or have you got other ideas about kind of developing what you're offering?
Yes, I mean we're always trying to draw new ideas and develop new ways of training people, because we've got quite a rack of training now in all sorts of other areas I haven't really been speaking about. So, for instance, we've just been looking at the world of trauma, wondering what we could develop around some accessible training around children and young people who've really been badly traumatized through lifetime experiences, where that might lead us. So, you know, we're forever finding new areas that we want to really sort of develop and make accessible to particularly to people working with young people in a bad place. So I think that will carry on. And I think also we're looking at kind of building our team, really. So we've got a broad range of associate psychologists and also a growing team of young people coming through now as well, working as what we're calling inclusion facilitators, who basically follow on from the person-centered planning and follow up to see actually that things actually take place. That were planned, because you can have a greatest plan in the world, but then if it's difficult or there is no natural resources in the family or in the school, we need somebody to follow it through. So we've been employing inclusion facilitators, and it's been great for me because my sons have been leading on that piece of work within the company, so that's been brilliant. So they've already got some great stories to tell. So that's the future, and I guess it's the next generation as well. It's bringing on the young people. They are the future, you know, the flag holders for inclusion. Maybe we never saw full inclusion in our own lifetimes, but hopefully our next generation, maybe they'll see more of it. There's certainly still a large hill to climb, I think.
And you've spoken throughout the broadcast about, you know, working towards full inclusion, and you really kind of explained what you meant or what that would look like, and you alluded to the kind of tradition of inclusion in Scotland, for example. So yeah. are there, without getting too political here, but are there kind of networks and support groups and movements that are really trying to take forward this agenda?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Partners in policy making is very big in Scotland. For instance, the Alliance for Inclusive Education, although it's London-based, it stretches right up into Scotland, and there's people connected into the Alliance. There's been Parents for Inclusion. There are quite a number of sort of strong bodies of people who are really, really committed to this and really trying to make things happen. There have been a number of international inclusion conferences based up in Scotland as well, which have drawn together international speakers, but it's been very much Scotland taking a lead on this, really, really pro-inclusion and wanting this to happen. But obviously there's other lobbies as well, you know, who want to hang on to special education, people who've fought hard for that choice and not going to let go of it easily. So it's a long road to travel, I think, still. And money and resources, as we know, are being challenged and being claimed. So it's the right way to be going, because you know, we live in a world that's not full of special bus stops, special shops. You know, it's a community that we want to share with people, really. And the more we can kind of keep young people in our local communities, building local friendships, local connections, much more chance that they can grow up into connected adults, living rich, meaningful lives, good lives.
And as a maybe a first protocol, you kind of mentioned this earlier, but in terms of your publishing house and the website would be the best place for folk to go.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, inclusive-solutions.com. There's a bookstore there. There's a shop, and it's got kind of it's mainly books and video resources there. I would think the Person Centred Planning Together is our best one on the Person Centred Planning work. Creating Circles of Friends is our bestseller as a book on the Circle of Friends work. We've got a book called Restorative Solutions, which would get people into the world of restorative justice and thinking about other work around challenging behaviour. Very much aimed at school teachers as a kind of step-by-step guide to kind of bringing restorative justice into schools. And also we've got a book called Circle of Adults, and that refers to our in-depth problem-solving work, which again, it's colourful, it's not too long, it's all our books we've tried to make very accessible. So hopefully that's where you could see them and order from us. I mean, the stuff's on Amazon as well, but you know, this is probably more straightforward to come straight to us. And if we can help people with training, we've got a button marked training, and it lists all the training that we kind of offer around the place. And I'm more than happy to coming up into Scotland. In fact, we are coming up, and but in August and in September into various places. So it's all good stuff.
Colin, thank you so much for taking time out to join us on EduTalk today, and best wishes for the future.
Lovely talking to you, and lovely talking to the listeners.